I'm going to talk to you about reducing offsite phosphorus losses from your Florida Spodosol. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. O'Connor of University of Florida and Dr. Oledaje of Michigan State University. I also like to acknowledge South Florida Water Management District and Florida Department of Environmental Protection for funding this research. Here is a profile of a typical Florida Spodosol. We have an A horizon, a distinct E horizon, and a well-expressed BH horizon. This is a sandy soil with very little organic matter in the A horizon and practically no colloidal material in the E horizon. So when we apply phosphorus to such soil at a rate that exceeds the crop removal rate, all the excess phosphorus moves through the soil easily. And then when we have high water tables, the phosphorus moves laterally and is intercepted by drains, which ultimately find their way in surface water bodies. This is a major concern in Florida. And in fact, we have done several studies with drinking water treatment residuals, otherwise known as WTRs, to improve the sorption capacity of such soils. However, most of these studies have been either laboratory incubations or column leaching studies or indoor rainfall simulation studies. Only few studies have actually examined WTR effectiveness under natural field conditions. And this is what we set out to do. We evaluated the effectiveness of WTR under natural field conditions in reducing offsite phosphorus losses to groundwater. There is a concern that when we apply WTR, especially aluminum-based WTR, at a higher rate or whenever we apply to the soil, you tend to increase the aluminum concentration and it may end up increasing aluminum concentration of water bodies. So as part of our study, we examine the effect of surface applied WTR on aluminum losses to groundwater. This study was conducted in the Okeechobee watershed in South Florida on a typical Florida Spodosol. We evaluated four P sources, that is two biosolids with different P phytoavailabilities, poultry manure, and inorganic fertilizer. These P sources were applied at either based on the nitrogen requirement or phosphorus requirements of Bahia grass. The P base rate was applied at a rate of 40 kilograms P per hectare, and the N base rate was applied at 180 kilograms N per hectare. The treatments were either applied with or without WTR amendments. So in all, we had 16 treatments plus a control for each block. The treatments were replicated 3 times in a randomized complete block design. So here is a picture. Here's a picture of one block having all the treatments, and we have solar-powered telemetry which enables us to monitor the water table movements. Here we have one plot, right? The plot has a dimension of 95 meters by 25 meters, and it was bammed to prevent cross-contamination from adjacent plots. At the center of each plot, we had 2 wells, a shallow well and a deep well. The shallow well was installed just above the BH horizon, whereas the deep well was installed below the BH horizon. Each well consisted of a piezometer tube, which was encased with a PVC material to prevent movement of water from the shallow wells into the deep wells. Periodically, we collected soil samples from the surface and the subsurface horizons to monitor the changes in the soil as a result of the WTR application. These soils were analyzed for total and oxalate extractable P, iron and aluminum, water extractable P, and also we calculated the DPS for each soil sample as the molar concentration of oxalate extractable P divided by the sum of the molar concentration of oxalate extractable iron and aluminum, and assume a saturation factor of 0.55, which has been suggested for Florida Spodosols. The DPS is a measure of the retention capacity of the soil, and a critical value of 0.25 has been suggested for Florida soils. That is when you have a DPS value above 0.25, you expect to have off-site phosphorus losses. Here is the rainfall distribution of our study sites for the two-year period. We observe that we have rainy season during the period between June and October for the 2 years. Right, for the samples from the groundwater, we were able to obtain it monthly throughout the experimental period. However, for the shallow wells, we obtained samples only during the rainy period. And these water samples were analyzed for soluble reactive P, total dissolved P, and then total dissolved aluminum. I'm going to first show you some of the results of the soil analysis. I have a series of graphs in this format, so let me just take a moment to explain the graphs first. Here we have the dependent variable as a function of the treatment. So we have the manure, the Boca Raton biosolids, we have Pompano biosolid, TSP, and a control. We have two colors, blue color, which represents all the treatment without WTRs, and then we have the pink color, the orange color, which represents the treatment with WTRs. And also we had the figure shows two designs, a diagonal stripes and a horizontal stripes. The diagonal stripes represent all the treatment, all the P sources that were applied at N base rates, and then the horizontal stripes represent the treatments that were applied at P base rates. Right, so for this particular figure, we have oxalate extractable iron and aluminum as a function of the treatment. As you can see from this, without WTL amendment, we have low iron and aluminum concentrations in the soil. Right, and they differed, the biosolids contain some iron and aluminum concentration. So you see that without WTL, we had some significant increases in iron and aluminum from the biosolid that treated plus. However, wherever we applied WTR, you see a significant increase in iron and aluminum concentration, suggesting that, well, as we know, iron and aluminum oxides are major sorbents for phosphorus. So the increase in iron and aluminum concentration suggests that the soil now has the capacity to sorb phosphorus. And this is what we observe when we look at the DPS values. Without WTL amendment, you see that first there was a significant increase in DPS values, right? And these differences were we found that the P sources differed in the DPS values. For example, here we have manure and then Boca Raton and TSP. There were differences in the DPS values, and not only the P sources. The rate of application also accounted for the differences. For example, here we have only manure, but here we applied at N base rate, and here we applied at P base rate, and there were differences. However, in the presence of WTR, not only did we decrease the DPS values, but they were all decreased below the critical value for Florida soils. And not only that, as you can see, in the presence of WTRs, there were no significant differences among either the P sources or the rates of application. So the WTR application marks the effects of the solubility of the P source and also the rate of application. And the reduction in the DPS confirms that the sorption capacity of the soil has been enhanced to reduce phosphorus solubility. And when we measured the water extractable P in the y-axis as a function of the treatments, that is exactly what we saw. Without WTL amendment, we have the greater soluble P concentrations in the soil. And this was a function of the P sources and the rate of application. However, in the presence of WTR, we found a significant reduction in soluble P concentration of the soil. And this was comparable to the control plus, which suggests that the WTL amendment has improved the sorption capacity of the soil to even negate the effect of the P source and the rate of application effects. I mentioned that we took water samples from deep wells and shallow wells. The samples we collected from the deep wells did not show any effect of the surface applied amendment. That is, they were similar to, among the treatments, among the rate of treatment, and with the control, suggesting that they represented what was actually existing in the watershed. However, we observed differences from the shallow wells, and that is what I'm going to focus on. Here I have soluble reactive P as a function of the treatment. And as you can see, where we apply the P sources at N-based rates, we observe a significant increase in the P content of the groundwater, if you compare that to the control. And that's where we apply the P sources at P-based rates, we have minimal increases in P concentration from the groundwater if we compare that to the controls. However, in the presence of WTR, there was no increase in soluble reactive P in the groundwater when we compare to the control, confirming that the capacity of the soil has been improved to prevent offside P losses. Finally, we look at iron and aluminum concentration in the groundwater, and we observe that for the 18-month study, we did not see any increase in aluminum concentration of the groundwater from the WTR amended plots. The study showed that when we did not apply WTR, the solubility of the P sources and the rate of application actually affected the DPS value as well as the soluble P concentrations in the soil. And when we applied the P sources at N-based rates, there was a significant increase in P content of the groundwater. However, when we applied them at P-based rates, we had only minimal P increases in the groundwater. In the presence of WTR, we increased the iron and aluminum concentration of the soil, and this resulted in a decrease in the DPS value, suggesting that we have enhanced the capacity of the soil to solve phosphorus, and this resulted in a reduction in soluble P concentration of the soil. Again, in the presence of WTR, we saw that we actually did not increase the groundwater P concentration. And though we applied aluminum-based WTR, we did not increase aluminum concentration. So we conclude from this study that WTR is an effective amendment to control soluble P concentration in P-sorbent soils without increasing aluminum concentration of groundwater. Thank you for your attention, and I'll take any questions.